Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. At the bustling street corner of Princess and Montreal Street, local artist Abby Nowakowski is hard at work painting a seldom-noticed traffic control box, with the help of the city's public art coordinator, Taylor Norris. Nowakowski described her critter-inspired piece, finding home between the cattails and the trilliums.
The piece itself is inspired by lots of local critters that are here. So we've got like a northern flicker, great blue heron, trilliums, cattails, a fox, a turtle. And I chose all of those creatures by, I reached out to kind of my community on socials and asked like, you know, Kingston folks, what kind of critters would you like to see in this mural? So try to fit as many as possible onto this box.
This piece is part of the Traffic Control Box Pilot Project, an initiative to brighten downtown by transforming traffic control boxes along Princess Street into vibrant pieces of public art. The project aims to support local artists, bring vibrancy to the downtown core, while also helping to deter graffiti. The city has commissioned five local artists working in different styles and mediums: Ben Nelson, Grace Dixon, Sasha Jimenez French, Aaron Wun, and Abby Nowakowski. Norris noted that local businesses and city staff have been advocating for this initiative to bring some more color downtown. Norris shared a bit more about this project with CFRC.
So for the first phase of this project, I have been working with local artists to sort of experiment with using these traffic control boxes as a platform for public art in downtown Kingston. So we're doing two different strategies. We're going to do a couple that are painted with murals. So that's what Abby and I are doing today. And then two others will be done in a vinyl wrap, just to see how the project works, how the community likes it, if painting is better than vinyl, if they both work. So for this first phase, I directly commissioned artists through our temporary public art program and our policy were able to do that. So I invited Abby. I had seen her mural work before and I thought it would be a great addition to the pilot project to experiment with. And I know that Abby would be a really good fit for this location at Montreal and Princess in front of Rocking Horse. So that's, yeah. Normally these boxes are just painted black. They hold all the controls for traffic lights at every intersection that has them. So they're like a really great just blank canvas.
For artists like Nowakowski, opportunities like this have been few and far between in the past. But she notes the landscape is changing with projects like this.
Have opportunities like this been becoming more abundant in Kingston? What's kind of the landscape that we're looking at?
That's a really good question. I feel like I want to say yes, that it has become more abundant, but I think that's because there's people like Taylor who are actively wanting to create and advocate for opportunities. But with that advocating, we need more funding, right? So the more people see cool things like this and appreciate, it means there's gonna be in the future more need and want for artists to be paid for, you know, creating culture in Kingston, because there's so many local artists here. So it's nice to kind of pull on what we already have happening here in Kingston.
Artists are also adapting, making sure they're ready to take on unique opportunities.
Being an artist today means like wearing a lot of different hats. When we get access to, you know, art making opportunities, paid art making proper opportunities, it's easy to jump on them and say a hard yes, because those type of opportunities unfortunately don't come up that often. It's a pleasure to be gifted this opportunity.
With this first wave of public art underway, Norris hopes the project can continue to bring color to unexpected places.
I mean, we've got no shortage of these traffic control boxes across the city. And we've got no shortage of like pre-existing like utilitarian architecture and infrastructure that can be activated as platforms for public art. So this first phase, we're working out all the kinks, you know, the boxes are all in different condition. So what are the prep needs? What is the cost of prep? Like, what contractors do I need to work with? What work do I need to do? What artists will work best? You know, it takes 3 to 4 days to install a mural. So that requires us to be on site. So that means we have to navigate weather, traffic, all those sorts of things. And then with the vinyl, it gives me an opportunity to work with artists who work in digital mediums, digital illustration, graphic design. And then those boxes require a different level of support and prep to get the art onto those. So I'm hoping we'll see how everything goes over the winter, see how the murals last, what damage happens, if any, hopefully not, and then the community feedback. And ideally, we'll be able to expand the program next summer to more and more locations across the city.
Two boxes are complete and three are still in progress, and passersby downtown are already taking notice.
We're just really excited to be able to get more ground level opportunities.
Thank you. I'm not used to making in such a public sphere, so it's actually been such a nice and validating thing to be actively making and having the people who will be admiring this for the next little while. And, you know, this is ultimately they're all gonna own this piece basically, because now this is gonna be in their neighborhood. So to hear everyone kind of being like, oh, that's so nice, it makes us feel good. Yeah.
No, it's great. It's been really positive, and a lot of people didn't even know these boxes were here. Mm-hmm. So now that they've got these murals on them, they're like, how long has this box been here? And we're like, over a decade. Yeah, just to be able to bring some vibrancy and some beautiful art to a street corner will hopefully, you know, brighten everybody's day as they pass by, kind of thing.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is the fourth part of our OUA Football 2025 season preview, and today we'll be looking at the Carleton Ravens. The most unlucky team in the OUA last year, the Carleton Ravens were far better than their 2-6 record would have you believe. The 2024 Ravens had a boom or bust defense that led the league in interceptions and was top 5 in sacks. Their offense was no slouch either, as quarterback Tristan Lefebvre was slinging it around to the likes of Frederick Hache and Kasim Ferdinand. It just never quite came together for the Ravens, however, as they experienced narrow last-second losses to Windsor, McMaster, and their hated crosstown rivals, the Ottawa Gee-Gees. Each of these losses was a dramatic one-score affair. If you switch the results of even just one of those games, Carleton is a playoff team. It's not going to be easy in 2025, as the Ravens are missing two of their best players in Kasim Ferdinand and Ife Onyeka, but I think this Ravens squad will actually be quite strong. I have them winning against Toronto, Waterloo, McMaster, and perhaps most importantly, Ottawa in the Panda Bowl. This will be good enough to secure them a spot in the OUA playoffs, and from there, who knows what can happen when you have a defense of this caliber and the kind of offensive playmakers that the Carleton Ravens possess. That's a wrap on today's sports report. Be sure to tune in again on Wednesday to hear the next part of our OUA football season preview as we cover the McMaster Marauders. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, July 28th, it's going to be hot and humid in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 28, feeling closer to 31 with a UV index of 9. 40% chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Tuesday, July 29th, more heat, more humidity, and a lower chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Daytime high of 28 is going to feel closer to 35 with the humidex. Wednesday, July 30th, more storms predicted for the city of Kingston, rain leading to a thunderstorm with the possibility of flooding and localized damaging wind gusts. Otherwise, it's going to feel like 33 degrees thanks to the Humidex. So batten down the hatches on Wednesday, folks. Could be a stormy day. Thursday, July 31st, daytime high of 26 degrees, a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Friday, August 1st, it's going to be 24, more sunny and clear conditions forecasted. Moving into the weekend, Saturday, August 2nd, daytime high of 25, feeling closer to 27. Sunday, August 3rd, daytime high of 27. It's going to be a beautiful, picture-perfect long weekend here in the city of Kingston. And then moving to the start of next week, the holiday Monday, daytime high of 26, feeling closer to 28 with light humidity factored in. This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week. Here are the road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed until August 15th for the removal and replacement of a culvert. Albert Street, Princess and Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Brock Street, Division to Palace is closed until July 31st from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for road resurfacing. Carlton Street, Alfred de Guy is closed until August 8th for a gas main installation. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Wise Street, Woodbine to Megan is closed until July 31st to accommodate construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Accommodation Road, 6th Concession to White Church, expect delays while the contract is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Abbeydon Road, Middle to Highway 2, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catterockway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic is down to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Garrett Road, 6th Concession to Sandhill, expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Highway 2 to Abbeydon and St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road. And Whitechurch Road, 6th Concession to Woodburn. Expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract.
Now we'll take a look at some community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Wednesday, Games in the Square runs from 6 to 8 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Play giant versions of Connect Four, Snakes and Ladders, chess, and more. Or bring your own favorite game to share. It's family-friendly, free, and a great way to meet new people. On Thursday, Stories in the Square runs at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater. This free story time is perfect for kids of all ages, and if the weather's bad, it'll move inside to the Central Branch at 130 Johnson Street. Then from 5 to 6 p.m., catch a chef demo in Springer Market Square, featuring Black Dog Tavern. Watch a local chef prepare a dish using fresh ingredients and grab a $2 sample after. Art lovers can head to Art Noise for life drawing from 6 to 8 p.m. It's $10 to join and is open to all skill levels.
Also on Thursday night, the youth-led musical Merrily We Roll Along opens at Domino Theater at 7:30 p.m. This show tells the story of three friends in reverse, from success back to their dreams. Tickets are $22 to $28, and it runs through to August 9th. And if you're up for a movie under the stars, The Princess Diaries is playing at Springer Market Square at dusk. Just bring your own lawn chair and enjoy. On Friday, dust off your boots for a free square and line dancing lesson in Springer Market Square from 6 to 7 p.m. No experience needed, just show up and have fun. On Saturday, it's the return of the Princess Street Promenade from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Over 100 local businesses and community groups will fill Princess Street with deals, foods, games, and surprises. And don't miss the Montreal Street Vintage Market, running as a part of the Princess Street Promenade, with over 20 local vendors offering handmade and secondhand treasures. It's on Montreal Street between Princess and Queen. And if you missed the musical earlier this week, Merrily We Roll Along is still on at Domino Theater. And on Sunday, start your day with a free yoga lesson from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. Just bring your mat and enjoy some mindful movement by the lake. And if you're up for a little road trip, head to Gananoque for Molière dans le Parc at 3 p.m. in Town Park. This free outdoor performance of L'École des Femmes gives a modern twist to the Molière classic as a part of Festival. Have a community event you would like featured on CFRC's news programming and website? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hi folks, it's CFRC's Ellie Sturton, and coming up are some great live music you can check out around town this week. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., the 20th Century Band brings big band jazz to Springer Market Square as a part of the Swingin' Summer series. It's free and family-friendly. Over at St. George's Cathedral, the Chapel Choir returns for another night of choral evensong at 7 p.m. Folks can also catch guitar legend Bill Frisell and his trio perform at Hotel Wolf Island from 7 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets for that show are $99. If you want something louder, Scram's International hits the mansion at 9 p.m. with Caraba, Searing, and more. Tickets are $15 online or $20 at the door for this night of punk rock. On Thursday, Toronto alt-folk troubadour Rob Moir plays the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. with his heartfelt tunes and humor. If you want dinner and a show, Boston Pizza Kingston Central is hosting a free indie rock night from 7 to 10 p.m. with Restless Endangerment and Two Time. Meanwhile, Bill Frisell plays a second night at Hotel Wolf Island with doors at 7 and the show at 8:30 p.m. And over at the RCHA, Beats Workin' is back with jazz and Sicilian songs from 7 to 10 p.m. Cover is just $5. On Friday, it's the kickoff of the 51st annual Blue Skies Music Festival in Clarendon, a full weekend of folk, roots, and bluegrass. Festival passes are by lottery, so email tickets at blueskiesmusicfestival.ca if you're hoping to attend. And back in Kingston, catch the Retro Kings at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. for a set of soft rock classics and originals. Then at 7 p.m., Tegan McLaren performs a free show in Springer Market Square as a part of the Kickin' It Country concert series. On Saturday, Blue Skies Music Fest continues in Clarendon, and so do the good vibes in downtown Kingston, with Saturday sessions running from 11:30 to 3:30 p.m. in Confederation Park. See Michael K. Myers, Jeff J. Galton, and the Oscar Evans Quartet. Folks can also see Down with Webster take the stage at Base 31 in Picton at 7:30 p.m. Tickets range from $69 to $149. Finally, at the Mansion, Kingston's own Exogen plays an alt-metal set with special guest Midas at 9 p.m. It's their only show this summer, and tickets are just $10. And wrapping up the week on Sunday, the jazz brunch at Black Dog Tavern runs from 11:30 to 2:30 p.m. with Chantal Thompson and the Black Dog All-Stars. Swing by Musiki Cafe and Whiskey Bar to see Savannah Shea playing a warm set of folk, pop, and indie originals from 2 to 4 p.m. The Blue Skies Music Fest has its final day, and out in Bath, Live Music Sundays runs from 2 to 5 p.m. at Finkel's Shore Park. And out in Bath, Live Music Sundays runs from 2 to 5 p.m. at Finkel's Shore Park with Borgen and Benny, Lucanus Pell, and the Andrew Mack Band. Got a local concert or music event that you would like us to share on air? Head to cfrc.ca and let us know.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, Be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.